Good morning. If you are visiting with us today, I just sort of want to catch you up to what the last couple of sermons have been about. We have been revisiting our baptismal covenant, beginning with the renunciation of the powers of evil and darkness, and then talking about what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive in our baptism. And this morning, the gospel speaks to us about the proclamation of good news. And in our baptismal covenant, it asks us, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God and Christ? And we say, I will with God's help. And if someone were to ask you what the good news is, what would you say? Are you prepared to proclaim the good news? And there's a lot of bad news today, so hopefully we could find something good to proclaim. But what is the good news? It appears 130 times in the New Testament, in case we don't get the message, but it's all about good news. And if we go to football games or if we watch them, we always see that John 3:16 proclaim, but there's something missing with that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's part of the story, but it's not the be-all and end-all that they make it out to be. And what it does is it divides people into us and them, the saved and the not saved. It's a very dualistic understanding of good news, the Greek euangelion, the gospel or the good news. In fact, we find the good news all over the Old Testament. It's not just in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament. And we have that passage where how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And what we know more from the Messiah, perhaps, than we do actually quoting from Isaiah, is you who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout, lift it up, do not be afraid, say to the town of Judah, here is your God. So the good news was being proclaimed then. In the Roman world, the good news would be the birth of a new king that would usher in a new reign or a new kingdom. So it wasn't just in a certain community, this was pervasive in the Roman Empire. So for them, it meant a new king would be born. And one of the things I discovered in seminary one day, as I was reading the Synoptic Gospels, I was like, Jesus was proclaiming the good news before he died and was resurrected. because the way the good news had always been presented to me was exclusively about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he begins his ministry by saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free." In every synoptic gospel, Jesus begins his ministry with proclaiming the good news and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." So there's something more to the good news. And if we make it only about personal salvation, we truly miss the mark. Because Jesus came to save the world, not just me and you individually. There's a much larger context. And as the theologian N.T. Wright says, Jesus' good news was about heaven coming to earth. The good news was not about how to escape the world. It was about how the one God who was changing it radically and forever. The good news at its heart is about the rescue and renewal of the whole creation. That is good news. That this world where the king, so to speak, rules with violence and oppression, Jesus came to usher in a kingdom where people, you know, where hierarchies would be flattened and people love one another. There is no need for violence. This is the kingdom that Jesus came to usher in. And if one heard that good news during the time of the Roman Empire, they would truly understand what it meant that a king, a new king, was being born who would be above Herod. And he would break the rod, you know, of oppression. The bar, you know, that of slavery would be broken. So this is the good news. The problem that has happened in our culture is that it has become exclusively about personal salvation. Instead of seeing the big picture that God is renewing the whole creation, and that salvation has already taken place, it invites us to participate in the salvation that has taken place. But to say that some are saved and some are damned is a very dualistic understanding, and it only divides us. It does not unite us. As Corinthians tells us, please be united. Be of the same mind. So I'm going to ask you right now to turn to your neighbor and how would you share good news? What does good news mean to you? How would you bring? How will you fulfill your baptismal covenant to proclaim in word and example the good news of Jesus Christ? I certainly witnessed an amazing proclamation of good news of interfaith clergy in Minnesota kneeling on their knees in minus 20 degree weather, and all of them arrested for protesting violence. That is the proclamation of good news. Interfaith clergy, not just Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Baha'i, Buddhist, all kneeling in peace to protest oppression and violence. That is good news. And so what we're learning right now is how do we live in this world of violence, and how can I? And I think it is unique to each of us how we proclaim the good news that God is redeeming and has redeemed the whole creation. So I'll give you a few moments to turn to your neighbor. And how will you proclaim the good news in word and example?
Good news. I am loved, and so are you. That's the good news.
Okay.
The good news is that I love you, and I'm...
So would anyone like to stand up and share their good news? Judy. Oh, I thought you were Bill. Okay.
Well, one theme that we share, and this goes back to your last sermon as well, the gifts of faith, hope, charity, and love. And trying, through example, to show others that we remain hopeful. And that hope is so important in this dark time. show others that we can stay hopeful and not give up. I think that's good news.
Thank you. Yes, Michelle. If you could speak loudly for everyone.
I, through a means of writing, I think, working through like blogging or working through telling stories, or bringing awareness to what's local within my community, bringing awareness to it and be vigilant about it, about oppression and matters that need to be and there's a better way to do this. And I think being hopeful is essential in bringing to light what is good through writing.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, someone, Karina.
Thank you for the opportunity. And I'd like to say thank you to this church, to this country, for everything what they do to us. In this moment is so sad. I don't want to be in this space. I don't want to see this country like that. And I don't want to see my people like that. That kids. And I'm so sorry for God, for us, and for everyone. I don't know what can I do. I ask God every day. If He can I do more. I don't want to worry you guys know the life for us. And I don't think you got no this one too, but and I thank you for everyone opened it homes and lives and hearts for my people, for Asian people, for Latin people, for people who have less skin like me. And the only way that we can come over here is for our kids better life. No more take the job away, no more take the money. We don't get any benefits that the government for me here. Only we come over here for work and for giving food to our families over there and better life for kids. No more taking anything for nobody. The only reason is work. How do you want nobody dead for us? We don't want nothing. We don't, I don't know what we need to do, but it's so sad for these people.
Thank you so much, Karina, for being so brave to share your heart. And you do not have to carry the pain alone, because we all have to carry it together. And your pain and your suffering is welcome. Yes. Let's just have a moment of silence. Amen.